Crazy. 6 weeks from today is Easter. So we're coming up on Easter quickly. And I don't know about you, but I'm, even as at my age, I'm still excited about the Easter egg hunt that we're going to have here. After church every year, we go over to my brother's house, and I'm not ashamed to admit that we have an Easter egg hunt just for the adults. We still have a fun time with it. So everyone knows it's okay to have fun, right? It's okay to have fun with the Lord. So 2024, though, seems to be flying by. I can't believe it's not March yet, but we're almost into March, and it's crazy. I'm not ready for the 100-degree weather. You'll see me sad and upset for the whole summer, but I'll be sitting inside an AC just blasting it, having a good time. Today, we're going to be diving into an overview of how our work is important, our purpose in work, and why we work. It's a massive topic, so we're not going to get into everything. It's just going to be more of an overview, but we're going to see how from even the very start of the Bible and throughout the progression of the Bible, we see how work is important. We see its value and its importance in the society of the Bible and even in the lives of the people and even its necessity. From the first accounts of the Bible in the creation story, we see the value and the importance of this work. In this creation story, God is creating Adam in the garden. He has this intention of giving him responsibility and giving him work. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." God intended for Adam not just to experience and enjoy the garden, but to work it and to take care of it and cultivate it. Part of that blessing came with the ownership and responsibility. We can see in this story that God places Adam in the garden deliberately. It's an intentional act. It's part of God's divine plan for humanity to be a part of this work, to have a stewardship over creation. And then we see the purpose of his work. Adam's task in the garden is twofold: to take care of it, to work it, and to take care of it. This implies that work and stewardship are integral parts of the human design. It's a part of our existence. Even in this amazing setting of the Garden of Eden, where everything was beautiful and lush and amazing, God still intended for us humans to work and to be part of that. When we see Adam is given this responsibility of stewardship over the garden, it means that he was entrusted with the care and the cultivation of that land. It's not a passive role, but an active one, and it requires attention and effort. We also see in the importance in this story of his relationship with God. The fact that God assigns Adam this responsibility suggests a relationship of trust and partnership between humanity and the divine. It's an invitation to participate in the stewardship of creation. So ever since the beginning, humans were created to work. We were designed to work. We were made to take responsibility, to steward, and to cultivate the land, and be a part of the ongoing care of creation. We were made to work. Now, if I were to tell that to my 12-year-old self, I may have rebuked that in the name of Jesus. I might have sat there and be like, "What? We were made to do that? I don't want to do that." And I think it's hard in our Western world sometimes, honestly, a lot of time, to contemplate what you want to do for work for your whole life, especially when you're a kid. Because as a kid, you just want to go play, you want to have fun, you want to do all the good things. You're like, "I don't want to sit in an office in a cubicle for the rest of my life, typing on a computer." Not that there's anything wrong with that, but as a 12-year-old, I was like, "That sounds like hell to me." There's so many options, and there's a lot of different things that you can do with your time, but it felt like to me as a 12-year-old that all the exciting things, they didn't pay very well. Or if they did, it was really hard to get them. And the money is important for paying bills. That's what I was taught as a kid, right? So I was like, "Oh, so you got to do stuff you hate to make money to pay for the stuff you want to do? That doesn't sound great." So if you would have told me that we were made to work by God, I would have been like, "Nope, I disagree. I'm going to go talk to him. I'm going to pray, because that doesn't sit right with me." And I think that's because I didn't see work in the right light. And it's not even that my family or my parents had this bad relationship with work. It's not like they had this imbalance where I never saw my dad or I never saw my mom because they're working so much. They really had a good balance with it. I think I just had a bad relationship with the idea of work. I think I struggled with that idea of spending every day doing something that just felt so monotonous and demanding that it didn't provide fulfillment or excitement. Now, my dream as a 12-year-old was to be a professional basketball player or an architect, which I know I just said I wouldn't want to be in a cubicle. And one of the things I didn't want to do when I grew up was wear a suit every day. And at least all the architects I saw, they had to wear suits every day. So it didn't really mesh with what my idea was. But I just wanted to make as much money as I possibly could doing the least amount so I could travel, hang out with my friends, do art, play sports. I was like, that's my dream. But how am I going to make that happen? I also enjoyed helping people. But I didn't see how any of my desires and my dreams could pair together in a job that also put food on the table and provided housing. My 12-year-old brain was spiraling, considering work. I was considering the wrong things. I was worried about the wrong things. I wasn't looking at it through the lens of why God created work. I knew I loved helping people and serving people, but what would a job like that look like? But work doesn't always just mean you're our place of employment for a full-time, part-time, or self-employed job. Work can be defined as the physical or mental effort exerted to accomplish a task, achieve a goal, or produce a result. It involves the application of one's energy, skills, and resources to perform activities that contribute to a particular purpose or outcome. Work can take various forms and occur in very different contexts, including professional, personal, and social spheres. Ultimately, work is fundamental to human existence, and it plays a central role in our individual livelihoods, societal progress, and even the economies we're a part of. Under that definition of work and the understanding of work, raising a family is work. Designing, building, and cultivating a community garden is work. Managing friendships and coordinating people towards a common goal is work. Serving in a local charity, nonprofit, or church towards a certain goal is work. Creating a beautiful art mural for a community center is work. Teaching someone to play guitar is work. Coming together in a Bible study to pour into one another and learn and grow is work. Playing on a sports team and striving towards the same outcome and same goal, that's work. Work can look different for all of us, and it's cool that it can be so different for all of us. We also must understand that work is good. I now understand that work is good. I'm not still in that 12-year-old mindset where I'm like, oh, every day, just go in, you just hate yourself, come back home, spend the money on the things you don't want to spend it on, and then you have a little bit left. I've matured and grown from that 12-year-old outlook on life, thankfully. Tim Keller explains this really well. He says, it is perfectly clear that God's good plan always included human beings working, or more specifically, living in a constant cycle of work and rest. It was part of God's perfect design for human life, because we were made in God's image, and part of his glory and happiness is that he works, as does the Son of God, who said in John 5:17, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. The fact that God put work in paradise is startling to us, because so often we think of work as a necessary evil or even punishment. I don't know if you knew this, but God works, and he finds joy and fulfillment in it. He's constantly at work loving us, providing for us, encouraging us, guiding us, and cultivating things for us. Work did not come from the fall. Work was always intended in our design. Our work is good, but it can also have pitfalls when we forget who we are working for and why we work. Who we work for is the most important thing. Now, I'm not talking about your boss, your human boss. You could have an amazing human boss and you really love working for them, but I'm talking about working and serving as if it was unto the Lord. Our call is to work and serve as if it is unto the Lord. We're to work as if our customers were serving and loving the Lord as we're serving our customers. We're to work and serve and have a relationship with our coworkers as if those is the Lord as well. It's an amazing and great thing to have an attentive, fair, and trustworthy boss. But at the end of the day, unless you're self-employed or you're seeking out other options, You can't always control who your boss is. You can't always control who your coworkers are, or who even some of your clients or customers are. And when we get bent out of shape over the things we can't control, it sucks the joy and the willingness out of us to work. In the ancient times of the Bible, we find a very tangible example of this. Slavery was common and it was accepted as a form of workforce for a thriving society and economy. Now, we agree that slavery is wrong, and it's not a fair treatment of people. And Paul and the apostles knew that. They would constantly teach and talk about how, in the gospel, that the slave and the master are equal in the eyes of the Lord. In Galatians 3:26 through 29, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Slave and free are equal under the eyes of the Lord. In the common context, it would be manager, boss, and worker are same under the eyes of the Lord. Or various different examples. And they all have equal opportunity and ability to be heirs of Christ. In this Roman time of slavery was a mechanism of the society. Slaves were sometimes war kidnappings. They were sometimes people themselves selling themselves into slavery to pay off a family indebtedness. It was a common part of their culture where it wasn't ethnically driven. There was oftentimes people having slaves of their same ethnic background. And none of that means that it was right. It was still wrong. And they would even have household slaves where the person would learn the trade of the master. And they would get so skilled in that professional work that they would be to the same level as the master, and they would share in those blessings. It was still not a glorious reality, though. Even though these slaves had roles and acceptance in the households that they worked in, it still wasn't a great outcome. But at times, these slaves could even be adopted into the household and given full rights, status, and authority if that family did not have an heir. Now again, I'm not saying that their lives were amazing, that it wasn't without pain and suffering and a lack of rights, because they definitely had those things. But they were also some of the most skilled laborers of the time. It was a different reality than the slavery that we have seen and learned about in our country's history. Many of them were born into it, and like I said, they would go into it to pay off a substantial debt that maybe their family owed. And so they could not control their circumstances. Sometimes this would even get them out of a life of poverty, so they weren't on the outskirts scavenging and just kind of dying off because they didn't have any way of moving on up. They couldn't control their status with their work and tasks. But Paul still encouraged them in Colossians to work as if they were working for and serving the Lord. Colossians 3:22 through 25 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." This passage encourages a strong work ethic no matter what someone's circumstance is. Whether it's an employee, a master, a slave, an employer, a boss, or in any other role, individuals are encouraged to work diligently with integrity, recognizing that their ultimate accountability is to God. This emphasis of integrity, being honest and dedicated in one's responsibilities, even when no one is watching. Our actions should reflect a service to something that's higher than ourselves. Whether we are serving our employees, employers, clients, or customers, we should do so with a sense of responsibility and reverence. Now, I know it can be kind of uncomfortable digesting this passage because it was written specifically to slaves. But if we look at it through the broader lens of the time and also how Paul would address both master and slave, we can see a challenge and a call for all of us to work with sincerity, integrity, and a heart of service. In Ephesians 6, there's a similar address to this one that we just read in Colossians. And in verse 9 of that passage, it says, "And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." Paul was checking the masters, and he was telling them that there's no favoritism. You're not better than your slaves. The slaves aren't better than you. You're all equal in the eyes of God. And so they deserve respect and to be treated well just as much as you do. And these addresses have applications in our vocational world today as well. We should all work with integrity, work ethic, and a responsibility of morality and goodness as we interact with others. As we interact with our bosses, our coworkers, customers, and clients. And it also applies to those of us who are bosses, who are managers, who are dealing with people on a constant basis. We should treat people fairly and with respect and love. And remember that in the Lord's eyes, we are all equal. And we all deserve love and care. Even when no one is watching, that we work and act in a way that is respectful, honorable, and attentive to others. And when we work and conduct ourselves in a way to act the same behind closed doors and without supervision and do things in service of God, we live in a way where we are only doing it for the approval of God. We are not downtrodden or pained by seeking the approval of others or even how we think we should be ourselves. Because when we work for the approval of others or ourselves, we will ultimately be let down. When we work to serve and worship the Lord, it changes our outlook. We have to allow our work to become an act of worship to the Lord. Now, it's okay to have goals and aspirations for ourselves. And success and advancement are not antitheses to God's way. But when our own desires, our own aspirations, and our own desire dominates, like our own desire to be approved by others dominates how we work, that's when we know we're no longer working for the right reasons. And really not working within the framework of how we were created. Our work is worship. And part of our work being worship is we need to rest. God worked and created the world in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. And he commands us to do the same. He commands us to rest. He tells us it's good for us. It's beneficial for us. We cannot be healthy and working well when we are overrun and exhausted. We must have a balanced work and rest theology. There's freedom in work, but there's also bondage when certain elements get out of whack. And this work-rest balance is one of the ways, especially in our Western capitalistic world, that gets out of whack a lot of the times. But then even when we balance work and rest, we have to also remember that the world is fallen. Things break. Things fall apart. And our work is not our escape. Our work is our mission, and through that mission, it is worship. Work is not what saves us or reconciles us to Christ. It is a reflection of our heart and how we serve the Lord. The way we work and conduct ourselves in our communities, workplaces, and lives communicates and expresses God's love and his grace for us. And we do that through our actions. Catherine Leary Alsdorf says it well in the foreword to Tim Keller's book, Every Good Endeavor. We're to express our relationship with God and his grace to us in the way we speak, work, and lead. Not as perfect exemplars, but as pointers to Christ. We are pointers to Christ. And the ways we speak, lead, and work are the tools and the methods in which we point to Christ. So we've understood and we've gone over that we are made to work and that work is good. We also know that it matters most who we work for. We work to glorify and serve God foremost, not for the approvals of others or ourselves. And we work to worship God. But what is the purpose of our work? I want to read you a long passage from Tim Keller's book that I just mentioned because it explains this question so well. Many have also sought older sources for the integration of faith and work. The 16th century Protestant reformers, particularly Martin Luther and John Calvin, argued that all work, even so-called secular work, was as much a calling from God as the ministry of the monk or priest. The headwaters of Lutheran theology put special stress on the dignity of all work, observing that God cared for, fed, clothed, sheltered, and supported the human race through our human labor. When we work, we are, as those in the Lutheran tradition often put it, the fingers of God, the agents of his providential love for others. This understanding elevates the purpose of work from making a living to loving our neighbor, and at the same time releases us from the crushing burden of working primarily to prove ourselves. Those in the Calvinist or Reformed tradition, such as Abraham Kuyper, spoke of another aspect to the idea of work as God's calling. Work not only cares for creation, but also directs and structures it. In this Reformed view, the purpose of work is to create a culture that honors God and enables people to thrive. Yes, we must love our neighbor, but Christianity gives us very specific teachings about human nature and what makes human beings flourish. We must ensure that our work is done in line with these understandings. Faithful work, then, is to operate out of a Christian worldview. The purpose of our work is to honor God and to love others. Now, we've talked about how our work is worship. It's an avenue for how we serve and glorify and bless God. And it is not the basis of how we prove ourselves. And at least for me, I thank God that that's so. I thank God that I don't have to prove myself through my work. But it's a reflection of how I worship and love him. We work because it's good and because we were made to work. After college, while I was getting my master's degree, I worked at this company called Minpar. My old college roommate worked there as an IT specialist, and he got me a job as a picker and a forklift operator. I later was promoted to shipping manager, but we don't really have to get into all the work I did there. We specialized in the parts for large-scale forklifts. So the forklifts you'll see on the side of the road that help build bridges and roads and buildings. If you've ever seen the companies United Rentals and Sunbelt Rentals, those were some of our biggest customers. And we also carried parts for other big construction equipment and farming equipment. It was fun working in that space with my coworkers and driving like these pickers, because that would go six stories up. Because we had, I don't know if you can see in the last picture, but I don't know if we can go back. See how tall the... So it would go all the way up to the top so that we could pick all the different things. And so that was kind of fun. I was like, ooh, I get to drive this thing. And then you get to drive the other forklifts and lift things up. And I really enjoyed it most of the time, and I really enjoyed my coworkers. But there was definitely times where I would sit there after work and I would question God. I would sit there and I'd be like, why am I here? What is my purpose doing this job? Am I really impacting anything here? These feelings made it really hard to go to work some days. It made it really hard, like my passion and my drive to work were really down. I felt like since I wasn't passionate about what the company was doing, that it wasn't making a difference. But the reality is, large forklifts are necessary to keep our infrastructure growing and thriving and developing. We even provided parts internationally, so this helped the infrastructures of other countries to build bridges and construction projects, roads and buildings. And so much more wouldn't be possible without these machines. Even when I didn't see the vision or the importance, God knew it. When I looked at work from my own lens, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense why I was there besides just a paycheck and to hang out with my friend. But God was trying to show me that when I work for his glory and I do it in service of him, no matter what I'm doing, it glorifies and furthers the kingdom of God. The friendships and the relationships I was able to make in that job are priceless. And they gave me avenues to love on these people and to show them the love of God and the grace I had received. And then to then show them God's love in their heart, his heart for them as well. It allowed me to see the importance of all different jobs throughout our society that serve in a way of caring and supporting people and society itself. The purpose of our work is to honor God and love others. We get the awesome opportunity to love our communities through our work and to honor God in these things. Whether it is our vocational job, our hobbies, our community outreach opportunities, serving at church, serving your family, or any other number of things, do it as an act of worship. Do it to honor God and to love your neighbor. At times, even with God's direction, we will fall into pitfalls of feeling like our work is pointless or it's fruitless, or our selfishness will kind of derail the things we're a part of. It will derail how we honor God and love others. But at the end of the day, our work helps us draw closer to God. It is our daily act of worship to Him. It is our daily engagement with our communities in our surroundings, where we can display His heart and His grace for us through those actions. We get to partner with God in His love and care for the world. And He provides us that moral compass and that understanding and that wisdom to help make decisions and help us drive in our careers and to just do different things at work. All of these things come together, and we get to experience God's grace and His contentment. God gives us contentment in work. When we truly focus on relying on serving God through our work and don't worry about the approval of others or ourselves, we become content in our work. And that doesn't mean you can't seek out advancement or different things in your career paths. Doesn't mean you can't progress towards bigger things. But it does give us contentment and security with where we're at now. We realize that all of us play a role in society. We all play a role in honoring God and loving others together. And each of our work matters, it's important, and it's valued. And that is what brings us contentment. Really, realizing our work is connected to God's work. And if our work is connected to God's work, that means it's connected to other people's work. And therefore, we all come together as the body of Christ to work for His glory, His honor, and His goodness, to share His love. And that lets us know that our work matters. When I lived in Minnesota, I served as a youth leader at the church I attended for 6 years. I was a small group leader. I was a Wednesday night leader. I helped lead some youth mission trips, did all these different things. But about half the time, I would come home from these things, and I'd sit there, and I would just have these feelings of, does this matter? Is this making a difference? What could I be doing better? I knew my purpose was to honor God and to love my neighbor. And I was doing that through serving in this way. But I still struggled with the doubt and finding contentment in my work. I felt like the time and effort maybe could have been better spent elsewhere. For those of you that know, youth ministry is all about that long-term investment. It's the consistently showing up. It doesn't always come with seeing the seeds you planted, seeing that growth. I know I can go back and talk to some of my youth leaders, and they'd for sure tell me, like, yeah, Connor, we'd hit you over the head with the same message every week, and it took you like 6 years to finally figure it out. It's about patience. It's about perseverance. It's about commitment. And that work does matter. And I know that my work as a youth leader matters from when I was in Minnesota. I've still remained in the lives of a lot of these guys, and I talk to them often. I still catch up with them a lot. And even two of them are coming to visit me this week, which is pretty cool. And now they're in their mid-20s, which is crazy because I remember them as high schoolers. And I also know that my work in the warehouse mattered, as I still keep up with some of those guys. I still talk to them on the regular. And even though we don't work or live in the same areas, those relationships are still there. This is why we work, to honor God and to love others. As we continue to move further and further into this transition at SWFF, I would continue to encourage you and challenge you to work in a way that honors God and love others. And I know that you can find contentment in that it does matter, and that your work is good. There may be new ways even that you feel he's calling you to serve or work in this church or in your community or even in your workplaces. And I want to challenge you to be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Be open to those things. Being open to being utilized in new ways to honor God and to love your neighbor. And I would also encourage you to find rest and renewal. God desires us to work and to love him, but that also comes with rest and renewal. We won't be able to be content or able to work as impactfully if we are physically burnt out and emotionally drained. We won't be able to love our communities well if we are those things. We won't be able to serve them in a profound way if we ourselves are burnt out. So be open to the Holy Spirit's guidance for new opportunities for serving and work, but also his direction for rest and renewal. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you that our work matters. I thank you that you designed us to work, that it was always a part of the plan. You were always intended for us to be cultivating and helping with keeping care of creation. It was always intended for us to have that purpose, to honor you and to love others. I just ask you, Lord, as we continue to go into our lives, in our workplaces, whatever those look like, whether that's at home, whether that's at an office, whether that's out in the field, or whether that's serving your family, whether that's nonprofit work, whatever it is, Lord, I just ask that you would be there with us, that we would be able to allow ourselves to use our work as worship, that we'd be able to show that we want to honor you and love others through our work. Because that is our purpose, God. And we don't always get that. I can tell you for sure that I don't always get that. A million other things come in the way, different thoughts, different aspirations, different selfishness comes in the way, and we get clouded from that. But I just ask that you open our eyes to that. That our work is important and it matters because we honor you and we love others. As we go into this, well, we're already in the midst of it, in the midst of this transition time, Lord, with Southwest Family, I just ask that you'd be with us as a church, that you'd be with each and every one of us as we have questions, as we have doubts, as we have worries, as we're wondering where the vision and the heart of this church is going. Just know that it's in your hands, that the work we do to help support this community, it's to honor you and to love you and to love others. And if we do that, then you're going to guide us to the right place. It's not about knowing where we're going. It's not about knowing all the answers, even when we want to, but it's about trusting you, God. So I thank you for that you're here and that you're working in this church and you're working in our communities and you're working in Austin and across the country through our work, that you're blessing our work. And Lord, I would ask that you just bless our businesses, bless our jobs, bless our opportunities, bless our interactions with our coworkers. Maybe some of us have coworkers that we just can't stand, and Lord, I ask that you'd bless those situations and those relationships, that you'd still show us ways to love those people. Maybe we have a hard boss and a hard job, and Lord, I still ask that you'd be there in that, that you'd give us contentment with where we're at. Even if we're still aspiring to go somewhere else and move up, that you give us contentment with where we're at. Work is such a crucial and big part of our lives, Lord. And I thank you that you're in it. I thank you that you had a design for it. And I thank you that you show us that it matters. I thank you for all these things, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.